Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:32 Central African time. At that time of the morning, where we join our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, Member of Parliament, the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, day a little nice and cool in the city of Durban. I see the beach is already inundated with some beachgoers enjoying it. Although I can see a little bit of the contamination, but no, that's not that we care it whatsoever. Yes, let us not forget this morning, very important protest march by Large Power Foundation that's taking place from the North Beach to the South Beach. So I plead with all our brothers and sisters to come out there in solidarity with the Palestinian people. Let's come out there in large numbers. I think the protest actions that are taking place in South Africa and all over the world is yielding some positive results. I've said it before and I want to say it again. The more protest we have, I think more people will be able to see exactly what is happening in Palestine. Some very emotional scenes there, Brother Shafal. If you look at the mother who saw her child, first of all, look at the restrictions the Zionist and barbaric Israelis have put in place, that you are not allowed to celebrate after being freed. And let me, I think, try and correct this confusion. Those that are being released, those Palestinians, are not terrorists. They are not prisoners, they are hostages. And we must make that very, very clear. And what's happening in Palestine is worse than genocide. It's actually a Holocaust. That's basically what the situation is. So let us get that. But look at the restrictions you put in. And how do you expect a mother who hadn't seen her daughter for tens of years, okay, seeing a child, and you saw the emotion, I'm sure many of our brothers and sisters all over would have seen the emotional reaction of the mother, that she just couldn't stop hugging her child. Now, this is what, you know, life in Palestine has been. And now, just when you decide that we want a ceasefire and release hostages, this is the restrictions that you want to put. In other words, you are saying to people, stop loving, stop living a normal life. You want to dictate anything and everything that they do and what they should and should not be doing.
Mm.
So, yeah, yes, indeed, that's the sketchy.
Gee, you look at the Israelis recruiting Malawians. Shocking indeed, Ahmad. Quite a few have been recruited, and according to one clip that went viral on on WhatsApp, was the lady there was saying that because they're poor and they're vulnerable, and even the government or the president of Malawi is selling his people wholesale. How you react to that, Ahmad?
Very unfortunate. Now, this is what happens when you're in a vulnerable state. And I said this again and again. Look at how wealthy, how rich this continent is, but controls absolutely nothing. Politicians are laughing all the way to the bank while its people are starving to death. This is the politics of Africa. And unless you change that, people will become vulnerable, and when they become vulnerable and they need, they will do anything and everything for survival. It's exactly the same thing that people do when you turn on to crime. You know, they're turning into crime. Some of them are turning into crime. They don't have an option. There is no opportunity that's been created. But, it's very alarming with what the Israelis are doing. Well, they're doing it right here in South Africa. They've been doing it for a long period of time, and we've allowed it. Until now, of course, it's getting a much more exposure and things of that nature. And I have put in a motion asking to deal with these things and put measures in place in any event to try and prevent this. So we must not be surprised that this is going to happen. And also remember that, you know, I was speaking to Brother Shabbat coincidentally to a youngster, 12 years old, actually, it was his birthday yesterday, a young white boy. He was waiting to board the plane with me to Durban from Johannesburg. And so we were having a chat, and he was talking. You can see, you know, he's well-versed with a lot of things. He told me about some Jewish person was killed putting up a banner. Somebody drove over him. I haven't heard of it, but yes, that's what he said. It happened yesterday in Johannesburg. But be that as it may, and so I asked him, so what is your view on what is happening, you know, in Palestine. And says, oh, he says, yeah, it's a war between Muslims and Christians. Now you can see how little children have been indoctrinated into believing that it is a religious war. And so I took the opportunity of very vocal young little boy, you know, looking forward to meeting his father after 7 months, I think. And yeah, so I gave him a little bit of a history as to exactly what is going on. But it clearly shows even in their schools what these children are being taught. And we're not doing enough about it. We're not. So while we're going to be protesting and things of that nature, I think we need to go on an educational campaign in getting more and more people to better understand what is going on in Palestine, and not only in Palestine, in different parts of the world. You know, one of these UK leaders, I don't know if you've seen that video of his, he talks about the Egyptians, how little or nothing they are doing for the people of Gaza and how much more they could have done. How our people in Syria are behaved, how right now Pakistan, he talks about that is 2 million Afghans, you know, are being expatriated to their own countries. You know, he talks about all those things. But it comes back to the message and that what we were trying to get here before, that don't you think we are our own greatest enemies? That we stand by and watch all these atrocities and things being committed, and we do very little or nothing about it.
Absolutely, Ahmed. Then you make a lot of sense there. Looking at a message from Shokat, he says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm a big follower of Ahmed Mandur Sheikh Imam. I follow him, Bruce Shapps, on With You and other platforms also. He says, the Jewish woman who was released by the Al-Qassam with her 2 children, the resistant fighters, she says that the resistant fighters provided her with clothes to cover herself. And on her way back from where she was arrested, a Qassam fighter was carrying one of her children on his shoulder, and she was carrying the other. What lovely stories coming out to world media, but the mainstream media doesn't want to carry these stories. Ahmed, great, and it was good you spoke to that young man, but you have also highlighted the fact that they are being taught to hate Muslims from kindergarten and Sunday school. Ahmed, your response there?
Yes, very much, alhamdulillah. I mean, look at the conduct of that Al-Qassam Brigade member. I mean, it really must be commendable, you know. But now, this is the nature. This is the Islam that's coming out of him. This is the deen that's coming off him. This is what he taught. This is what he knows. This is what he understands. Even in taking a hostage who others would regard as your enemy country, but they still treated them humanely, giving them the, you know, the love and the respect and the dignity that they deserve. So, you know, and you'll get a lot more stories like this coming. I can assure you plenty more will come up, you know, if, of course, the opportunity is there for you to come into the open. But someday it will come. You can't suppress it. In fact, to such an extent, I think the Israelis were very upset with, I think, one of their people were waving at those at Gaza when they were leaving, and they were very upset as if they were waving in jubilation, thanking these people, and they didn't seem to like that. So yes, indeed, they will try to suppress that to a very large extent. But you are correct, it's a serious problem when children are being indoctrinated from a very young age, you know, at the schools. And I think the Department of Basic Education must come in here and put some measures in place.
Bilal says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat there. Lovely show indeed. I enjoyed the fishing with that Ibrahim Lighty catching a hammerhead shark. Ahmed Mandur Sheikh Imam, CNN was asking if Israel was justified to attack Al-Shifa Hospital. Guess what? 75% of the people voted yes. Where are we to fight this and to refute that? Don't think that these media houses can get away with this murder. We should be having our people monitoring mainstream media and jumping on the bandwagon as soon as they can when these polls take place. We should be there flooding it and nullifying their plans and their so-called statistics. Ahmed, this is a very valid point from Bilal. Your response?
Yes, I think we have something that we've highlighted before, Brother Shepherd. We are on a comfort zone. We don't, just as we're not taking part in the politics of this country, which affects our future, exactly the same thing. We are so comfortable where we are and the kind of life we're living and the wealth we have and whatever it is. We're not taking these things seriously. And so remember, a poll is as good as the people who go and participate in this process. So if the majority of the people do not participate in this process, how would you get a true reflection of what the outcome should be and what is the status quo, what is the situation? You can't get that, and that is why I agree with you, more our people should participate in all these processes so that you have balanced reporting. On the other hand, let me tell you, these things are actually to a very large extent manipulated. I give you a good example. Even in our very own country, we have public participation processes before we pass legislation. And what happens? You go out there, you do it, you don't get a true reflection of the number of people that might have opposed it. Have you ever heard us going on the ground and getting public opinion and rejecting a bill? No, it gets passed. So that is the thing. Now, the majority of the people may not like a bill, but a handful of people will go out there and participate, and it's the handful of people's contribution that will decide. And it should not be like that because it's affecting the entire country. And in this case, the world. So, you know, again, the need to participate in politics, the need to participate in these processes that are unfolding so that you can get your voice heard. If you don't do that, well, there's an opportunity for them to get out a message, you know, and use propaganda all the time. They use the mainstream media to do that. So we must take responsibility for that as well.
Anonymous brother says, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, the cause is not the Jews, Zionists, Munafiks, or the Freemasons, or the Bilderbergs. They are not the reason, but only a means, a tool Allah has used to wake up this ummah. But 99% are asleep. We are those that are allowing the shaitani forces to run amok, because we were there put to forbid evil and then join good. Ahmad, that's a point to consider, Ahmad.
Yes, Jazakallah. I'm not sure why the brother may want to remain anonymous, because I think you're making a very important and pertinent point, and we've said this again and again. I think we've learned a lot from here, and I hope we're going to do something about it. I mean, the Zionists have infiltrated South Africa so badly. Yes, we have the means, the resources, the skills, the morals, the values, but we've allowed them to come and take over. It's our own fault, and I think there's an opportunity to learn from this. I agree wholeheartedly with the brother what he said. Absolutely. We've allowed the situation we find ourselves in today, that even if you want to boycott the product, I'll give you a good example, it's like almost impossible. It's almost impossible. That's how badly they've infiltrated. So, yes, I think the important thing for us to do is to learn from these things. You understand? We need to learn from it so that we don't make the same mistakes again. So if you want a more balanced world where there's respect and dignity for everybody to live equally side by side, well, since we did not take the opportunity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it for us now. So take advantage of it. Let's do something about it. So, I mean, can you imagine the media is controlled by them? The food industry, the mining sector, the judiciary, everything is controlled by them. In a short space of time, and we've done nothing about it. So there's an opportunity to do something about it.
Good
you learn from mistakes, but if you sit back and allow it to continue, then you must take responsibility for where we are. Exactly the same thing with an election coming up. If you sit back and do nothing about it and don't participate and make the right choices, yes, the Zionists will get in. They have got the resources. They'll pump those resources in. They will get in. They'll turn the country around. And you and I will be the ones to save. The generations to come are going to be the ones that are going to face, suffer the consequences of our inaction.
Well said, Ahmad. Kasim says, Ahmad, our race is for the biggest house, a collection of cars, fancy number plates, a glamorous lifestyle, a parade of shops, a huge bank balance, a wardrobe of designer clothes, shoes, phones, holidays, watches, the list is eternal. This is our aim. This is our goal. We are looking at Palestine and we can see what's happening to our brothers and sisters. But still, we are still more worried about, hey, look at what I am. I have arrived. Ahmed, your response to Qasim?
Exactly, again, the point that we've been making, that we're using the wealth that we have created. Not, you know, I've had, like I said before, I've had this discussion. You can only control your wealth while you are alive up to two generations, yours and the next generation. After that, you lose control. But we concentrate so much of in amassing more and more and more wealth. And the fact of the matter is that when we do that, or when we have enough, or we think we have enough, we've gone into a comfort zone. We forget about everything else around us. And that's the problem we're finding ourselves. Again, it says, I want to say this, this will be the cause of our downfall. Even the Muslim countries, so-called Muslim and Arab countries, they got everything, but they're still playing into the hands of the enemy. So we have everything in this country, and we have been very fortunate that Allah has blessed us with so much. But are we using it optimally for the right purposes to take advantage of what Allah has blessed us so that we can spread the deen, so that we can go out there, take our views, our morals, our culture, our tradition, our dignity, and go out there and spread it to as many, many people to bring them on the path of the righteousness, on the path of doing the right thing. We're not doing it, my friend. We're not doing it. So we think we're okay. We got everything. We don't care about what happens. But I can tell you that all the wealth in the world, one ideal thing is you can have everything, but when you're growing, and you're only growing in that white calico material. Nothing else you take with you. Absolutely nothing else. So why not use the wisdom you got, the values, the morals, and your wealth, and change this world so that each and every one in this world, irrespective of which religion they belong, what is the color of their skin, whatever, can all live with dignity, all could live happily, all could live in a prosperous world. That's the least I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do for the people in the world.
This messenger says, yeah, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. We say boycott this and boycott that food stuff and boycott this and that. I say, Ahmed, boycott interest, boycott usury, boycott alcohol, boycott tobacco, boycott drugs, boycott mortgages, boycott loans, boycott insurance, boycott everything haram. Please, Ahmed, we should start boycotting all the evils that has infiltrated within the house of Islam. That's another powerful statement, Ahmed. Things are getting hot this morning.
No, Jazakallah for that. Brother is correct. Absolutely correct. But you can't do it overnight. You've got to do it in a process. Have we taken advantage of what we have to offer and done that? No. But there it is. President Putin comes out and talks about interest and things and doing when bringing an Islamic financing system. President Putin, a non-Muslim, is coming and talking about social upliftment of the people all over the world. President Putin is talking about a more equal society where you respect everybody and give them dignity and not one having a monopoly or control and power over the other and abusing them. It should be coming from us. Should be coming from our people. And it's not. So I agree, if you want an ideal world, it's right in front of us. Let us go and propagate that. Let us go and encourage people to do that. Let us do that. And then we'll have a better world. So I must agree that those are some of the things we're going to need to. That is why I say in the country what we need is not a Muslim party. No. You'll be sending the wrong message out. You need a party with Islamic ethos, morals, and values, diplomatically putting it in them and changing the world. With Islam being a threat to all many people in this world because of course, the propaganda that goes around is because people don't understand what Islam is all about. And the colonialists have used this to divide us for many, many centuries. I want to say that only if we can create that environment through organizations who will have Islamic ethos, principles, and values, and slowly bring it into the systems of different countries all over the world, yes, indeed, we'll be able to achieve what the brother is talking about.
Well, Saddam, this one message is coming through. It says, with over 50 years of Palestinian conflict, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, years of debate, our eyes, hearts are sealed with the real problem. Syrian massacre in front of us, a country shredded with no end of war inside Iraq. Millions are butchered in Afghanistan, shelled for decades, and all the other Muslim nations similar and screaming for help. Guantanamo Bay is still there. Afshar Siddiqui is still incarcerated. Imran Khan is being played with. Please, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, we've got a humongous problem in the house of Islam. I say Islam in inverted commas. There are no true believers at the rate we are going. We are being kicked like a football from pillar to post. Ahmad, your response there?
So simply what it means, that while we sit back and we're complaining about what is happening in the world and how our brothers and sisters are being abused and human rights violations committed against our own Muslim brothers and sisters, our own Muslim countries are responsible for the same thing. And we're doing nothing, like Imran Khan in Pakistan and many others all over. What is happening in Syria, in Iraq right now, Afghanistan, Pakistan. So, something means that we are to blame for where we are, and we're not doing enough about it. So, charity begins at home, doesn't it? We should be doing something about it ourselves, which we are not. And, you know, it is for that reason you'd find, and I notice this often, the Freedom Front in Parliament and the ACDP, who looks at that, and every time they want to comment, brother, and they have nothing else to defend about the crimes that are being committed by them, they use this. But your Arab countries are not with it. The Arab countries are working with them. The Arab countries are not supporting it. Why are they not supporting it? Because the Palestinians are wrong. That is the message they're trying to get. Blaming the Palestinians on the conduct of our Muslim countries is the failure to be able to come to the aid. Can you see? Again, we are and we must take responsibility for why our people are with.
Yeah, sad indeed, Ahmad. And, you know, you get many conflicting views and many, maybe some of us, you know, that are sitting on as armchair critics. But when the call for jihad is made, then you'll see the true colors of people. You remember the story also in the Noble Quran, where these people said, no, we'd like to remain behind, you know, because they had their wealth or they were in cushy positions and so forth. But when the call for jihad is made, then you can see, you can differentiate the boys from the men, Ahmad.
Yes, definitely, I agree with you. But also another message I think that is coming out loud and clear. When we talk about the conduct and how others are using the fact that our own Arab countries and things are not coming to the rescue, and the interpretation is that they're not coming to the rescue of our people because our people are wrong. You know, we must remember that our people, many of our countries, despite having all the skills, the capacity, the wealth and everything, you know, all it needs is to take one leader to come and turn them around. If you see what is happening in Saudi Arabia right now, and the conduct of Prince Salman and the direction he wants to take that country to. But I can say again without any doubt that Allah is not asleep. What goes around will come around. What happened, what is happening in Saudi Arabia as well, and the stance of that King Saudi is very difficult to even understand, because one day is on the left and the other day is on the right, so you don't understand where it comes from. But very importantly, I think that what we need is an awakening amongst our own people. You know, I've noticed that even in our own country, some leaders, we take them and put them on a pedestal. And we fail or refuse to even look at the weaknesses and the damage that they're doing to society. And unless we correct that and we make sure we identify in every aspect. You know, a good example is if you go to a doctor, what do you do if you're sick? you ask people who's a good doctor. If you got a matter in court, you ask them who is a good lawyer. But why is it when it's a religious leader, we don't say who is a good religious leader? Who is the one that's got ethics, morals, values, can take us forward? Why is it we fail to ask those questions? Why is it when it comes to politicians, we just close our eyes and go out there and just vote for and support anyone and everyone, as long as they can feed you, but don't ask the same question? Why is it? So again, we need to change the way we think and apply our minds.
Absolutely, mashallah, Ahmad. I really enjoyed your company, and as we know, the listeners too are really relevant and make it what the show is all about, and your segment also. Ahmad, perhaps your parting words before we let you go?
Well, there's a protest march that's taking place for the resistance in Durban on Beachfront at about 12 o'clock today. Please be part and parcel of it. Wherever there's protests all over the country, be part and parcel about it. Every voice, use the social media to your advantage to get the message as to how you feel about what is happening in Palestine and what is happening in many other parts of the world and how you believe that we need to create a better world for us all to live in. You have these opportunities. Social media can be used for the wrong purposes, but can also be very educational and used for the right purposes. Take advantage of them. And again, I want to say, if you have not registered to vote, there is online registration. Please, my brother, just go out there. Every single vote is required. This election, I said before, we're at a crossroads, and we need to make sure that we participated in it and make sure that we protect our independence, our freedom of religion, and things that we enjoy here. So don't lose that opportunity. They will, you know, let's not wait for another voter registration, whether we get it or not. What if you can go and register online? Do that and be part of the solution. And when you elect and choose people, in every aspect, choose the right time. You know, they say even if you're looking for a bridegroom or a boy for your daughter, what are you supposed to look for? We know the qualities you're supposed to look for. Just like that, you are needed to look for the qualities. That is important.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.